Testament reading, we move on from the prophecy of Hosea to the prophecy of Joel. Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. And he hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament, like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl ye vine dressers for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because the joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament. Ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a day of destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a new book, so a little bit of an introduction. The author is the prophet Joel. We don't know a lot about Joel. He's the son of Petuel. We don't know anything about Petuel. His name means Jehovah is God. The name Joel was very popular. There are probably about a dozen men in the Old Testament that were named Joel in different places and histories. The time of the writing is interesting. Most good scholarship would place Joel around the time of King Joash and High Priest Jehoiada. Okay, Joash and Jehoiada. This would be then fairly nearly following upon the heels of the rebellion of Athaliah and the remnant of apostasy that would remain in the land because of that rebellion. So sometime around 830 or 820 BC. The purpose is to warn the nation of the need of humility and repentance for the certainty of the coming judgment. And then he seeks to keep the heart of the Lord's people faithful to God's promises by reminding them of the coming salvation and the destruction of their and God's enemies. So it's generally spoken. Let us also remember that Peter quotes from the prophecy of Joel on the day of Pentecost. And so he will use that language, that apocalyptic language, to introduce the New Testament era of the church. So it's a fairly brief outline. We have the first section is Joel 1:1 through 2:27. It's the plague of locusts, but it's really not exactly locusts. It's truly a plague of destroying armies and invading army and so on with chariot wheels and so on. In 2:28 through 3:21, the second half of the book, we have the blessing and judgment of the Lord. Remember how I try to give you brief things to hold on to. So here in the prophecy of Joel, it's all about the day of destruction, the day of repentance and fasting, the day of restoration, and then over all of that, the day of the Lord, right? So it's numerous days here in Joel that seem to lead the way of the outline. All right, so let's begin then with the book itself. First of all, in verses 1 through 7, we have this horrible kind of temporal judgment that is prophesied, right? You've had one animal after another come and destroy all of the produce of the land. It's an interesting thing to think about. You know, the Lord often uses what we would call his small armies to bring down great kingdoms. This is so that he gets the glory, right? And yet we've found a way to get around that. We blame it on weather events, right? Climate change. Why was there in North Texas a few years back what looked to all casual observers to be as a plague of crickets? I mean, they were sweeping them off the sides of buildings in heaps. This is not apocalyptic prediction. This actually happened here in North Texas. I remember stopping for fuel one night under some bright white lights, and I pulled in and I looked up, and I kid you not, there was a cloud of crickets circling under those bright white lights. And I thought, well, I need fuel, so I'll get out and get fuel. And so I got out of the vehicle and I went over to the gas pump to grab the handle, and it was like, I think I got hit by about 8 or 12 crickets being out of the vehicle about 30 seconds. The gas station across the street used low-pressure sodium. That's that deep yellow light. That didn't seem to attract the crickets, so I went over there and got fuel. Right? But notice what it says, that which the locust hath eaten or has left, the palmer worm, he's taken that up. The palmer worm left something behind. Okay, the canker worm came up behind him, and so on. Now notice that the Lord often sends his small armies, his temporal judgments, to work against spiritual problems. This is not uncommon. The Lord has done this often in Scripture. We see it play out over and over again. The Lord will send armies, certainly, and he does that, and we'll hear about the chariot wheels in chapter 2. But here, notice how he starts off the conversation. The palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, and so on. The caterpillar finally finishes everything else up. And where does he strike them? He strikes them exactly where they need striking, because they have been indulgent. Awake, ye drunkards, weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Okay, so wherever it was that they were sinning in their indulgence, the Lord strikes up against their supply, and he brings his small armies against them. May I say it this way, my dear brothers and sisters, we ought not ever to think that these things simply happen or they're cyclical or something like that. That when the Lord brings temporal judgments, he brings them with purpose. They're not accidents. I've often lamented with you that we hear about these things from our civil leaders and you know, we can fix this and all we need to do is tweak this or change that and or some other strange remedy. What is the remedy here of the prophet? Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. My dear brothers and sisters, we cannot solve things like this with snipping about the edges. We have to go for the root of the problem. And as we finished out last Lord's Day in the study of civil magistracy, and we said, why is it that the Lord raises up wicked rulers and puts our society in such disarray? We said that judgment begins at the house of God. We still say that here with regard to these kinds of judgments. Have we seen the interruption of supply chains in our stores and foodstuffs? We have. Have we seen the refusal of medical care? We have. Have we seen other shortages of things that we thought or we took for granted before? Yes, we have. And why are we seeing those things? Because we are in need of sanctifying a fast and calling a solemn assembly. And notice in this passage that the ministers of the gospel ought to take the lead in calling the people to repentance. They ought to take the lead in that it first mentions them dressed in sackcloth and weeping before the altar of the Lord. So I consider it my responsibility to keep this before us and to set that example myself with my own carriage, and other ministers ought to do the same. This is what we're called to do. Lament then like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The Lord has taken away even their ability to offer because their offerings had been polluted. So verse 14 then, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, and gather the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. This isn't global warming or cooling or climate change that causes bugs to rise up and consume our land. This isn't the machinations of a few wicked leaders that are seeking to overthrow the foundations of polite society. This is the Lord sending these things through his various means to call his people to repentance. The visible church in the United States of America, in the West generally, is either non-existent, in absentia, or corrupt in the large part of it. We ourselves are not where we ought to be. There's all kinds of reformation that can take place. And so, such a temporal difficulty as this calls for a spiritual remedy. And so Joel is very clear that it is a spiritual remedy that will indeed overcome these temporal difficulties. When we behave ourselves as church folks, as worldlings, and are beholden to the world, and God pulls that rug out from under us, we have nothing to do but thank him for it when we call that fast and repent. So, O Lord, to thee will I cry, is how the chapter ends. For the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. That's how the chapter ends, with the prophet saying, O Lord, to thee will I cry. All right, with that then, let's stand and